ranch house, given to him by friends, as the story goes, so he would practice rope tricks on the calf and not them. America's favorite cowboy philosopher was still making a name for himself in 1928 when he and his family settled at this ranch in then rural Pacific Palisades, just north of Santa Monica. The unassuming 31-room home, now looking much as it did then, includes 11 bathrooms and 7 fireplaces. Be sure to appreciate the wraparound shower on the second floor. The mission-style furniture, eclectic Western decor, Native American rugs and baskets, and museum exhibits tell the Will Rogers story, up to and including his tragic death in 1935, when he and aviation pioneer Wiley Post died in an Alaska plane crash. If Will Rogers managed to get himself reincarnated, just think what might happen if he ran for president again, as he did in 1928, the sole known member of the anti-bunk party. His bunkless campaign, artful political mockery, started and ended in the pages of a national humor magazine. As promised, when Rogers declared himself the winner, he promptly resigned. But if he'd actually won and then stayed on, would the U.S. have avoided the Great Depression the following year? Will Rogers was a very smart man, too smart to be president. As he would surely say, there are 3 kinds of men, the ones that learn by reading, the few who learn by observation. The rest of them have to pee on the electric fence for themselves. Until next time, this is Kim Weir for Up the Road.
And you are tuned to listener-supported community radio at 90.1 KCFR Chico. It is time for Butte Views and Beyond. All right, thank you for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. My name's Ray Lager. I'll be your host this evening on today's program. Got a full lineup of interviews today, and let's get right to it. I'm going to do the underwriter so we can get everybody in nice full time. We want to thank our supporters, Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And also by branding agency ID Design and Web, celebrating over 20 years of providing Chico with award-winning websites, Facebook, Instagram, and Google strategies, as well as branding and graphic design. To find everything creative for your business in just one place, visit ID Design and Web online. All righty. A lot going on in the world locally in some of our arts scenes. We had talked a little bit about it. The Upstate Creative California Corps grant process finally finished, and Butte County had 57 entries, and out of that 57 entries, there were 8 selected, and that is going to bring over $326,000 into Butte County to support the arts, and it's all going to be spent locally. You got to love it. So let's do a quick interview with one of the recipients, and we're going to feature 2 of each of the projects over the next 4 weeks, 4 months rather, 4 programs. And we'll start with the Recycled Art Program and Recycle Reuse.
Hi, it's a pleasure to introduce Luann Manis to Butte Views and Beyond tonight, and welcome to the show. Luann is the project coordinator for Chico Creative Reuse. Thanks for taking time to be with us tonight.
Hi, thanks for having me, Ray. Really excited to share a project with you.
So we kind of got associated through the creative, the Upstate Creative California grants that had gone through. And it was a pretty painstaking process, but very exciting. Butte County had 8 grants funded, and a really nice chunk of money is going to be flowing through Butte County, over $326,000, which is economic development through the arts and 2 local artists. And you guys were selected because you have a fabulous project. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the organization first, and then we'll talk a little bit about your project.
Yeah, Ray, we are very excited to join other art agencies across the state, increasing artist workforce, and really, and while supporting Upstate California Creative Corps and their core goal of public awareness of environmental related issues such as water, energy conservation, climate mitigation, and emergency preparedness, relief, and recovery. With support from Upstate California Creative Corps, we're producing a traveling creative reuse center, and it will feature artwork and installations from Butte County artists that use diverted upcycled materials. We'll have in-person online interactive activities, information and resources about climate change, supporting climate mitigation through waste diversion, and then our resource exchange area with distribution and collection of art and maker supplies. Really, our aim is to engage the public and community leaders for increasing awareness, dialogue, advocacy, and action relating to waste diversion and resource recovery as a strategy for climate mitigation and addressing climate change. We really are prioritizing those communities in Butte County that are in our lowest quartile of the Healthy California Healthy Places Index, and places like Bangor, Berry Creek, Chico Eastside and Chapman, Clipper Mills, Concow, Feather Falls, Forbestown, Ridley, Honcutt, Orville South, Palermo, and Thermalito. So we are looking forward to bringing our mobile creative reuse center to these areas at local events, after school programs, farmers markets, and museums.
So really, you guys' organization is really about waste reduction, landfill reduction, reuse, repurpose, and look at things a little differently than when we throw them away, I guess, really, right?
Yeah, for sure. So waste diversion reduces the need for production of new products and disposable of those products. Really, creative reuse and upcycling reduces the carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases entering the atmosphere, right? So we're not making new materials and we're not having to throw them away. And this is really one way we can support climate mitigation, is really thinking about those materials that we're throwing away and kind of directing those items to people that can use them. In our case, we are diverting materials to artists and makers and using it for creative projects.
Very nice. A kind of a perfect example that I think a lot of people are probably familiar with is like you'll see a lot of metal sculptures that are all, you know, reused pieces, old wrenches, parts of cars, all this stuff made into this fabulous art. And recycling is not repurposing, because recycling takes it takes energy to convert that over, which again adds to the greenhouse gases.
Yeah. So really, our project is going to focus on engaging those participants about this concept of climate mitigation through waste diversion, reuse, upcycling, kind of in this broader context, assembled, transformed, altered, repaired, preserved. And yeah.
Very cool. Now tell us, how long has Chico Creative Reuse been around?
So we are a new organization, new nonprofit that's emerging right now. So stay tuned. You're going to hear a lot more about us. We are slowly developing and using the opportunity for this mobile creative reuse to reach out to the community, let them know we're around, and really we want to hear from the community as well about creative reuse center project.
Oh, that's great. And people get involved. And again, so the concept is it's going to be based, you're going to be traveling to different communities throughout Butte County and with information and education and, of course, developing this art project and really introducing it through the arts.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. So we've got art displays, but definitely that research exchange is going to be something we want people to really be aware of. It's this opportunity to bring your items that you don't normally, that you're not going to use, that we'd probably throw away, and bring it to us, and we can get it into the hands of artists and makers. So we're collecting from community members, we're collecting from businesses, organizations, anywhere and everything that might have items we can use, and then we would be distributing them out to those in need. So really excited to kind of see how this comes along. All different types of kind of creative reuse. We have seven artists that are going to be working with us from Butte County, from all different types of art medium, from textiles and clothing to children's toys to found objects and everywhere in between. So, yeah.
Yeah, everything. When you put a second set of eyes on something, it gets a whole new imagination connected to it.
Yeah, basically trash to treasure, for sure.
Yeah, very fun, very fun. And obviously, this is a passion of yours and something you've been thinking about. I know we've been talking about it for almost a year since I met you. So it's really exciting that that is coming to fruition. And it's also exciting that you're an emerging organization. So hopefully this will really help get some attention and some vision going forward and bringing like-minded people together to help in the cause.
Yes, we hear that call to action with climate change and it needing the attention of our community. So hopefully we can engage them, make them aware of some of the ways that we can mitigate that climate change.
Yeah, and I think obviously the awareness of upcycling and reusing. I mean, it's coming into mainstream. It's coming into clothing. It's finally being addressed in the fashion industry with, throwaway styles and things like that. It's actually much hipper now. It's getting legs and it's getting awareness. And that's really how it starts. And then we take it there from, into our homes from that. So I think the lead is also coming from our young people as well, too, because they're a little more in touch with that because they're seeing a large presence on social media and things like that of like, hey, how smart is that? You wear that thing twice and then you just throw it away. What's that about? What are you doing?
Yeah, we hope to definitely get all different ages involved. That's another part of this grant is this intergenerational learning that all of these projects are going to entail, and really that accessibility, getting it, this information into all the hands of all different ages, socioeconomic backgrounds, and really getting us working together to look at these environmental related issues.
Right on. Well, thank you. Do you guys have does your organization have a web presence or Facebook and those kind of things where people might be interested?
Yeah, we have an Instagram and we have a Facebook, so go check us out, Chico Creative Reuse.
Okay, great. Very good. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking time with us. And let's check back in. What's your timeline?
Yeah, so we are looking to be in some events in the fall. And some farmers markets and a few museums throughout Butte County. So best way, follow our social media. You'll start to hear more information on different media sources, things like that.
Very good. Yeah, please share that with me, and I'll spread it out as well. It's really, I can't wait for it to really start to happen. That's really going to be great.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. My name's Ray. We just had a nice little interview with the new reuse program that's coming through the Upstate Creative Corps California Arts Council. And let's swing right into our next interview. And this is a fun one because it involves food.
Well, I would like to introduce. We've had Rosemary on a few times. Rosemary Febo, who is on the board of directors with the Butte County Local Food Network. Thanks for taking the time to join us tonight.
Well, thanks for letting me get on your show, Ray. I know you do a good service to our community.
Oh, thank you. It's a lot of fun. So yeah. You guys have an event coming up that we wanted to talk a little bit about and then kind of inform people a little bit about the work you guys do in the community. Why don't you tell us about the upcoming dinner?
Well, it's La Dolce Vita, and it's an Italian farm-to-table dinner. Donna Garrison usually heads up the whole thing and sets it up. She has done it. I think there was a Mexican meal last year, and the year before, I forget what that was, but I have never attended it. So I went out to Grub today to look at their facility. So it's the tables are all set up underneath the walnut trees. It's a fundraiser to benefit the Butte County Local Food Network. And it's going to be Saturday, September 9th. It starts at 5 p.m. And so we'll have, adults. Can I mention the amount?
No, we're not going to get in. We'll let people go to the website to find the pricing.
Awesome. So tickets can be found at donorbox.org/events/474078. So it's at the Grub Farm, which is 11630 Dairy Road in Chico. That's out off of Sacramento, and you make a left there on Dairy Road. And it's there, you see Franny and Lee every week at the farmers markets, Wednesdays and Saturdays, and they have luscious fruits and vegetables growing all year round. They're really hard workers. They have a beautiful farm. Yeah. And today, when we went over there, Jonathan Richmond, of course, many people know Jonathan, is building a bread. It's a bread oven, not so much a pizza oven, but it's a bread oven. And how he explained it was there's like quarter horses and Clydesdale, and the quarter horses a pizza oven. The Clydesdale is the bread oven, and it's this huge thing. So hopefully we'll be able to use it. He was out there tiling it and getting ready, and he'll be strolling around with his guitar, singing Italian songs the day of the event. And there'll be other musicians. There'll be a bar there. Donna and I have made limoncello a couple months ago, so we'll be serving that. The meal is going to be great. It'll be an antipasti tray with, if I can find all the people. Let me find the.
That's all right. Let me.
The menu, but. It's going to be antipasti. Then there's going to be a pasta serving, and then there'll be meatballs, and then eggplant parmesan.
That sounds great.
Salad, and then an olive oil cake. So it's going to be a really nice Italian meal.
Beautiful, and it's honestly a really beautiful spot, and it's very close to town. It's just right off of West Sac. And it's amazing when you go back there and you see how big it is too. I mean, they're farming a lot of acres back there.
Oh, they are. I mean, I'm telling you, they're real, real farmers.
Yeah, that's for and sure. It's old school. You're not seeing columbines back there. You're seeing people picking.
Right.
Picking and working with hoes and stuff, and it's the real deal.
They have a nice little farm stand there on right by the farm as well, where you can go and buy produce out of their farm stand, which is really cool. Yeah.
Well, that sounds fabulous. And anything Donna Garrison, that woman could make some food. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, she can. Yeah.
Anything that Donna Garrison is involved in is going to be off the wall delicious. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And like I said, she's the head honcha.
not honcho, honcha.
Honcha, I like it.
She's on vacation right now. Otherwise, I would ask her to do this interview.
right, to join us. Well, this sounds great. And, of course, it's a the fact that Jonathan Richman's going to be running around playing, singing Italian songs.
I think Stevie Cook and Diane Garner may be as well. Good. I don't know whether we've... You know, we do need some volunteers. If you go on our website, the Butte County Local Food Network website, you can, there's ways of volunteering. You can see all the programs that we are include in our works here in the community, which is really great. And
let's talk a little about what the what you guys do and the mission, and because I know some people are familiar with the Garden Boxes, which is a really incredible program. But you guys do great things in the community.
Well, since 2020, I just joined the board of directors not that long ago, so I'm the newbie on the board. But like it says on the website, it takes a universe of effort to change a local food system to one that's more locally based and secure. And we all come to this work because we have a deep feeling of commitment to what we're doing. And the network has come a long way since March of 2020, and we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. We just got a great grant from Butte Strong and North Valley Community Foundation for $45,000 for our market mobile. And the market mobile is, you see it at the farmer's market. We have a group that takes food. Well, we support like 28 farmers where we buy food from them, and then we take it up to food deserts in Magalia, Concow, and Paradise, where people need to get fresh food. So we do that. And we just also got a grant from and I don't know the name of it.
Upstate Creative,
which is awesome. And we do these free food stands, and the artist will be that we collaborate with is going to be painting those free food stands. And what they are these little structures where people put food in and anybody can come and eat from it. They're, as long as it's non-perishable foods and so forth.
It's kind of like the mini library concept.
Exactly.
Except yeah. It's going to have local produce and things like that from people's gardens that often have way too much.
We do have a community garden that's available to the community as well. It's on. It's called the Vecino Garden. That area at one time was called the Vecino area. It's between 5th and 6th on Laburnum. And there is a free food stand out there. And we have a garden going. I mean, we have a group of young people that are, just kick ass in the gardens, and we have the garden blitz, which you mentioned before, where we get volunteers and build above ground. Where am I trying the boxes for?
Yeah, raised beds,
raised beds. Thank you. Yeah. And we get volunteers, and we get the dirt, and we get the plants from Sherry, and then we take them to people's homes, and they can buy these raised beds, or we do have some, an angel program where if you can't afford it, but we teach you how to garden. We have the Grown Project, which is we teach young people how to farm. Wow. And we have school gardens. We have, so much.
You guys have a lot going on. And just because it is a little confusing, I'm going to, it's Butte County Local Food Network, and the best thing to do is to go to the website because you can buy your tickets. There's a link there for the tickets as well.
Yes, it's bclocalfood.org.
Yep, BC, Butte County, bclocalfood.org. And also, honestly, it's such a, this is Chico. This is Northern Cal. This is, 320 days of sunshine a year. So a lot of gardeners, a lot of outdoor activity. This is a really cool organization to get involved in, especially if you're, if you're retired or something, or you just, do something different. It's good for the soul. It's good for the heart, and it's good people. And what's more fun than than making food and getting to eat it and share. Right.
Yeah, and if you're interested, we're looking for board members. We're looking for an executive board. We're looking for an advisory board. You know, we're growing as other nonprofits do at times. And but we're on a roll, and I think that it's I'm really proud to be a part of this group myself. And this is going to be a fun event, the La Dolce Vita, September 9th. Don't forget, get your tickets soon because it does sell out. We'll be serving about 120 meals. So there's stuff for vegetarians. The only thing that's not for a vegetarian would be the meatballs. But everything else is suited for vegetarians. It's going to be a great, beautiful day, I'm sure.
Yeah, it sounds lovely. And even honestly, I've been out there on hot days, and you're under the trees. It's beautiful. It's, you know, you're not out there on the asphalt. It's just beautiful. So that's lovely. And again, the whole idea of doing kind of this Italian thing. I want to see that bread oven kicking out some nice heavy Italian rustic loaves. You know,
I wish that we were, but Camino Bread donates bread for the event. We'll have have sourdough. Yeah, well, we have a lot of different, you know, Sierra Nevada, you know, beer, wine, local, everything's local donations from different, you know, from the olives to the pork, you know, from Llano Seco to the Divide Ranch for the beef, everybody kicks down, the farmers do, and help us out so we can make it a successful event. And
just to see Jonathan Richmond strolling around in his striped gondola shirt, you know, singing, that's worth it right
there. Well, what was funny is I live on Oakdale, and he lives, you know, he and Nicole live a few blocks away. And I was sitting out on my porch with a friend yesterday, and he was passing by with his guitar, and he sat there and serenaded us while we were sitting on the porch.
That sounds like Jonathan.
It does.
All right, let's reel this back in. So, La Dolce Vita, this is a farm-to-fork Italian dinner, which is a benefit for the Butte County Local Food Network, and it's going to be held out at the Grub Ranch and Farm. Call it a farm, I guess.
It is a farm.
An active working organic farm. On Saturday, September 9th, 5 p.m., tickets, bclocalfood.org. And limited seating, and it will sell out. So you.
All righty. Sounds like a fun event. We're going to take a little musical break. Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. And we'll be back in just a minute with a couple more really interesting interviews. A bit of war, 1976. That's one of the underserved summer songs that you never hear anymore. But, of course, we got it for you right here on Butte Views and Beyond. And let's welcome our next guests to the program.
Well, we've got a couple of guests I'd really like to welcome, and you might know them. Of course, they've been on a couple of times. Pat Mathias, who's the executive director over at Monca. And we're also joined with a familiar voice here on KZFR, our very own Tom Gagne. Not only is he a KZFR guy, but he's done a ton of things in the community, and he's a pretty avid collector of all kinds of things, including art. Thanks for taking time to be with us tonight.
Thanks.
My pleasure.
All right, Pat, why don't you tell us about this new exhibit, and then Tom, you can come in and tell us about your contribution.
Great. July 13th, we opened up Fantastic Scenes in the Galaxy, which is a solo exhibition by Carolyn Ferris, who used to live in the Bay Area, currently lives in Chico for the last few years. And this is I should have counted how many pieces she has in here, from huge posters that she has created to the regular size posters from the 70s, 80s, that are the colors, the themes, and they really are a pretty amazing exhibition. We thought, okay, so we've got that in two galleries. What are we going to do in the other gallery? So we are always looking around for people in the community that might have something to add to our exhibitions. And Tom's collection of ties from that era was the perfect fit. And it's really been a great show. People have been coming in and going, oh my God, this is wonderful. It brings back memories. But they, you know what? They're bringing their kids, which I find very interesting, is that they want their kids to see what they have gone through in the 70s and 80s.
What's the subject matter of Carolyn's? Were these show posters? Are these just art pieces? What is she? What was her body of work?
They're posters that I would say they go from space to just people in spaces. I'm not sure there's a real theme to them, but they're she used to work with. Oh boy, Tom, do you remember the name?
Wes Wilson.
Wes Wilson in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. Correct.
So can you add on that one?
Well, I just know that her work is kind of inspired. They collaborated together also, was my understanding. And in fact, it was somewhere I was reading as part of the show that she joined him somewhere back in the Midwest or something for some type of a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. Sadly, he just passed. I believe it was less than a year ago. She was not only a student of his, but also collaborated with him. And of course, Wes Wilson is one of the premier artists from the rock and roll posters back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, yeah, a lot of Fillmore posters right up there with Kelly and Mouse and right. Griffin. Rick Griffin did tons right. of covers. And actually, Wes did a Moon Alice poster for KZFR about 5 or 6 years back. I know I got one. I got an autograph one hanging up in my room there.
Wow.
Well, in fact,
also Tom's posters are part of this, which is this collection of posters of bands, and then we have another collector's collection of bands. So what we've done is put together a scavenger hunt. So at the desk, you can gather a sheet of paper that has some of the bands and try to find out where they are in that room, which is kind of fun. Adults are doing it like
crazy. Oh, I love it. I think that sounds great.
You might have to take a certain type of medicine in order to see some of those images.
They're pretty small.
I want to go back to Carolyn's work because I'm not familiar with it. But, of course, being a child of the 70s, and, you know, you think, I mean, people think of posters now as they are advertising something, right? It's basically a print advertisement of an event, whether it's a concert or a walk in the park or something like that. But back in the day, in the 60s and early 70s, you used to go to the local record store or head shop and you would just buy poster art, black lights, right, psychedelic, really, really, really outrageously cool, wild stuff. Yeah, it was low art, I guess you can say, but maybe if you saw it today, you wouldn't think so. But that's kind of vanished, and it's really hard to even find. And those were posters that, I mean, you would have it in your room for 5 years, and then one day you'd see things you never saw before.
Right. Well, she's done some so that you see the process also. So she does one in black and white, which is her usual, hand-drawn poster. Then she hand colors it in another poster, and then she uses the computer to color it. So there are two or three varieties of that same poster that are hanging together. So you can see from the beginning to the end her process.
Gotcha. Okay. I was thinking they were overlaid like with 3D glasses. You know, I'm like, oh my God. Oh,
that would be cool. I'll color that.
Yeah, we need to tell her that.
You know, Ray, I wanted to, for me, when I looked at her work, I was trying to draw some comparisons to give you some idea, like kind of like, you know, the Jetsons meet Space Oddity, there's humor. They make you smile. Uh-huh. They make you think. There's some copy in some of them that is thought provoking, so they're that's why I think they're also appealing maybe to younger people also. They're fun,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I'm definitely gonna have to check it out. And then what are there some Wes Wilson posters there as well, or exhibits?
Yeah, actually, what I did when I was first asked to be part of the show, I went into my collection, and I, in particular, chose out, I think I probably have about at least a half dozen, if not more, Wes Wilson posters as part of my collection that I framed and brought to the show. Of course, I think the goal was, from one of the people helping with the show was to have all the artists, displayed from that era. And I think, we managed to do that. So everybody, like you say, from Rick Griffin to, I'm never quite sure the pronunciation, Morosco, Wes, and I'm, of course, forgetting some of the other names, but I believe they're all represented in the rock posters that are displayed at the museum.
And what's so amazing is you preserve them. So, you know, they are wonderful. They're framed. Somebody was telling me the other day that they remember having it rolled up. And when they went to unroll it, it just fell apart. I mean, that's... Yeah. To your goodness, that is so good that you have, preserved them.
Yeah, it was nice to get them out of cold storage. I've been keeping them under wraps, and the pandemic kind of motivated me to begin to put them in frames. And quite honestly, I still have probably between the large and the handbills, which somebody said to me actually at the opening of the shows, because there was some major poster people from the Bay Area at the opening, that the handbills can be of greater value.
I don't know. Probably more rare.
Yeah.
As people, you know, folded them up and shoved them in their pocket or just threw them away. And
right.
Yeah. Sometimes those small pieces. How many do you think you have? How many posters and handbills do you think? Different ones, not like 25 of the same one.
Oh, I have over 50 of the large posters. Okay. And over 100 of the handbills and or postcards. If you remember, they would send out the postcards and it'd have the next month's shows all on the back of them. Probably about 50 or 100. Just a quick story. I started collecting them in about 1980 when I decided to wean myself off of a bad drug. And I started collecting them as a gift to myself in order to have something the next day that was fun. And it lacked guilt and it was brought me pleasure. In fact, I think I shared with Pat that the way I started was I went into an antique shop and there was the very first show I went to, the poster of The Loading Zone, Chuck Berry and Jethro Tull.
Nice.
What
year was that and where was the show?
That was 68. That was at Fillmore.
68 Fillmore. Very nice. Very nice. And that, yeah. just to throw some creds Tommy's way, I was doing Playing Dead a couple, 6-7 months back, and I played a show of Janis Joplin and the Grateful Dead at this funky little place in Marin in San Rafael that held shows for a few months, right where the Flamingo Hotel it was and stuff. And Tom calls me, he goes, dude, I was at that show. It was on my birthday.
Yeah. Mind blower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watching Janis and Pigpen singing Love Light.
Yeah.
There's certain things you don't forget.
That's pretty awesome. All right, Pat, how long does the show run? And let's give some folks the gory details, as we like to say.
Yes. I was just going to say it goes through August 27th. And on August 6th at 3:00, it's a Sunday afternoon. Carolyn will be here to do an artist talk. So all those questions that you were throwing at me and I didn't have answers for, she'll be able to help you with that. So that is Sunday, August 6th at 3:00 in the afternoon.
All right. And for those that don't know what the heck we're talking about, Monca, the Museum of Northern California Art, which is kind of right across from Chico High School on the Esplanade. Yeah. It's within shouting distance. It's a beautiful old granite building. It's got that classic institutional look from the 30s, you know. Used to be the Veterans Auditorium, and I think it was an armory before that. Is that correct?
It was always the Veterans Memorial Hall.
Always Veterans Memorial Hall.
Yep.
Anyway, beautiful building. You guys have been really, really, really doing a fabulous job. Not just curating it, but bringing it back to life. And you're in a huge redevelopment plan. So if you're excited about this and your ears are burning and you got $500,000 sitting around, not making any interest, call Pat and she will put a plaque with your picture on it in a psychedelic rainbow headdress.
Can I put a plug in for two events that we do have that
please do
would raise money for that? And that is that this Friday is comedy night at Monca. So that is going to happen. Tickets are online or at the door. And then Music for a Cause is Kazira, and she will be Sunday doing that with a small art auction along the way. So those are two things this week. I mean, we keep bringing them in.
Yeah, go to the website, monca.org. Is that right?
Yes.
MONCA, Museum of Northern California Art, monca.org. And get involved and check it out. It's such a great asset to the community. And Kazira, hey, come on, man.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. Come and see her.
Yeah, come and see her. Very cool. Well, this has been really, really fun interview. And Tom, it looks like you got one more thing. We're going to have to jump. We're running out of time.
Oh, no problem. Just appreciate the opportunity to share the ties. We haven't talked about those too much, but there's a lot of color there. They've been wonderfully displayed at the museum. And Pat, maybe you ought to share the hours that the museum's open for people to come in.
Definitely. Thursday through Sunday, 11 to 5.
11 to 5. We'd love to see you. Sunday. Thanks for bringing the ties up, Tom. We got tied up in something else, but
that's all good. No pun intended.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And get out there and check out the new Monk exhibit.
All righty. It does sound wonderful. We've got time for one more. Squeezing them in, we want to talk about a really beautiful project that one of our wild creators is doing here through the Upstate Creative Corps. And then we'll wrap it up. And peanut butter and jelly time to follow. It's Thursday Night Market if you're heading downtown. Beautiful evening. It's a mild 92 degrees. It's just gorgeous out. So
I would like to introduce Tazu Yamaguchi. Taz, welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. And
Thank you.
I mean, I don't even know how to introduce you. Impresario, artist, educator, creator, maniac. I mean, you know, you're full disclosure, Taz had a show, 10 years ago maybe on KZFR?
Yeah,
5 years ago? Did a number of things. You also hosted Studio 416 for a while. You brought a lot of live acts in, which was really exciting. Matter of fact, I think you were one of the guys that really helped bring that to KZFR, which was pretty cool, because I know you were heavily involved in the music scene. But your resume is kind of off the hook. I mean, graphic artist, video producer, animation. Thank you for joining us. And Taz's organization, One Life Foundation, was also a grant recipient from the Upstate Creative California grant for a really dynamic program, which really touched my heart. And as I got to really learn more about what you do and the work you've done in the community called the Matsu Project, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
The Matsu Project is something that's been a part of my life for a long time and shows up in a lot of my creations and most of all in my educational thing. And I actually asked Ray, and he said that's a great name, the Matsu Project. So that stands for Making Art Together, Supporting Unity. And basically everything I do in education and the arts is all about bringing people together to experience the arts, to heal trauma, to heal and learn and expand and bring their social aspect, you know, to high levels and live more purposefully. So when we get together and we make art together, supporting unity, basically brings us together and makes a very cultural statement of all the different diversity. And the Matsu Project also, what it will be doing is we'll be going throughout Butte County and teaching animated filmmaking and giving what I like to say, giving a TV as another language or voice to the community.
And you're going to be working with different youth, is that correct?
Youth and adult organizations. We started the project and started to outreach to the Axiom in Oroville, which is a downtown youth center, and Hmong Center, Cultural Center, and African American Center in Oroville. And then here in Chico, we'll be doing the Boys and Girls Club and reaching out to Kai Music and Arts and hopefully collaborating with them. And we're also putting it out to get in touch with me. And if you have a venue or a place where we can come in, we're looking at doing long residencies if we have committed students to teach them the whole process of animated filmmaking. We're also looking at doing just short classes that introduce media arts and have people do stuff like evacuation maps and learning how to animate that in their county and teaching for, you know, preparedness.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And I mean, I know that digital arts media is a cutting edge thing in the arts world. Obviously, it's been around a long time, but it's now getting foundational recognition, right? Where it used to just be like, oh, it's just like animated something they made on their phone or whatever, you know. Really understanding how important it is to storytelling in today's society, because everything is on that little, you know, 3.5 by 6 inch screen, and that's the connection. And for better or for worse, that's where it's coming from. So to give people that outlet to tell their story and to feel heard and to feel significant for their mental health and the health of our community is unbelievable.
Yeah, so I've been working in this space for some time now with the media arts and specifically filmmaking and entertainment and animation. And we also live in an incredible time where the technology, resources, and everything as that we can make broadcast quality from just like you're saying the small space of our cell phones and our tablets. And so I think it's an incredible opportunity to teach people these skills so they can be more resilient in civic manners and just in their own communities, be able to communicate at the language of television. And I also like to always point out that why I love doing film projects for a project like this is because I always tell people film is not a solo sport. You know, it includes all the arts from drawing to modeling to sketching to music to sound effects to video arts to almost every, theatrical arts, voice acting, everything. It combines it all. So it just makes an incredible community gathering and project.
Yeah, that's a great point because, until you spelled it out like that, it's like an art school all wrapped into one kind of concept. And it is that digital arts media. Because you have to have all those things. You have to have all those foundational things. You have to create it. You have to write this. Or you have to write it. You have to think it. It's not to take away from sculpture or painting or writing prose or any of those things, but this encompasses everything.
Yeah, well, we'll be doing, cutout animation and all the animation techniques that have been around for centuries. And one of them also is claymation. So we will be including sculpting and definitely painting. And most of all, I like to develop in people what I call the language of imagination. And being able to collaborate together with the language of imagination. So to be able to express, even like the things magic, which I take the definition from Joseph Campbell is magic is just making yourself available. So making yourself available. And what I find in filmmaking too is everyone has a part. You know, if you don't draw, you definitely have a voice and you can act, you can direct. And most of all, it's like you said, storytelling and bringing up those deep cultural stories in you and discovering things, and all of us love cartoons too. I can't find a single person that doesn't like a comic or a cartoon and needs some entertainment and a little, laughter in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt that the art of laughter and the importance of feeling joy, that's what being alive is all about, right? It's
yes.
It's about feeling joy and being open to it. So, and I love the claymation and some of your work. So if people, you have a bunch of YouTube sites, why don't you, because I think people might be like, wow, this is blowing my mind kind of. And I know you've had some YouTube feeds you had sent me that showed some of your claymation and work in the classrooms. That was really, really fun.
Yeah, so basically we decided with this project, my artistic name is I Paint Creatures. And a lot of people on the internet worldwide have known me as IPC, so that stands for I Paint Creatures. And so youtube.com/C/IPaintCreatures and instagram.com/IPaintCreatures will basically be the portals for the whole Matsu project. So we'll be putting animation up there. We're actually right now in the first phase before the funding comes in next week to basically start sending out our thank yous to you and everyone else. And we have something very special planned for that. And hopefully make everyone have a smile on their face and know we're going to have a great time if you come out and participate in any of our sessions or workshops.
Well, it's really exciting. And it'll be exciting to see this get out and get out into the community, because I have a feeling that once these things kind of start up, they are definitely going to kind of catch fire. And I think it's going to be awesome. The work that you have worked with kids and school age kids, middle school, elementary school, special needs kids. I mean, just the power that they have when they get their hands in that clay and they create something and see it. It's just so connecting for everyone.
Yeah, because, part of my background is I got the incredible opportunity to collaborate with, the creator of Star Wars, George Lucas. And at that time, a lot of the technology was not available to do what we're going to bring in these workshops and really show people how to, you know, develop a character, and not only just a character, like we've been talking about doing a series of animation where the character or the monster could be COVID. And so we have this fun little animation that basically lets us communicate some deeper thoughts and things on in an entertaining environment.
Yeah, it's like I said, your resume is longer than my arm, and you know, to see all the different organizations and people you worked with is really amazing. And we are really fortunate to have you hanging out here in Chico. You know, you never know who you're standing next to in line for coffee. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate Chico, and I think Chico has some of the finest artists on the planet that are untapped. And so we're hoping the Matsu project, you know, leads into a lot of my other projects, and you know, really, I think, give the confidence and show these people that they make world-class art and culture here. It's amazing. That's why I've always stayed, and I love the small community, and I've always looked at it as a Lucasfilm. I mean, Cameron Scott, who's working on the project with us, is one of the most amazing world-class musicians that we have here, and I'm hoping to bring a lot of light to him. And then my partner Cheryl will be working on it, and she's one of the most amazing singers and designers and voice actors. And so we're hoping to really you know, have fun with a lot of people and teach you voice acting to scripting to all the way to painting and drawing, and how to concept development of a character, and how to bring a story arc and a joke alive in just short little animated films. And we'll also be documenting. This is one of our deliverables. So we're hoping to make a full feature documentary of what happened in the, you know, in these 6 months that we're going to be teaching all to animate and tell stories in a very fantastic way.
Yeah, it's really. I mean, it's community advocacy through the arts, or it's arts advocacy through the community. You know, it just. It's seeding, and this is what grows. And like I said, it'll be really amazing to see what comes of this 2 years from now, and how many people get turned on and move on, and other collaborations that form, and other organizations or individuals that are like, hey, I'm going to take this to my group, or I'm going to take this back to Washington or Oregon or wherever they're from, you know, and start to really cultivate it. Yeah, right on, man. Well, thank you, man. I know you're busy, and you know, time. I'm always amazed how quickly these interviews go. It's like, you know, we're getting on. So thank you, Taz, so much for joining us. And again, let's give people your tag, your I Paint Creatures, and if you have a Facebook or website for the Matsu project up yet.
We don't have that yet. So mainly be Instagram right now and YouTube. We're going to start posting probably by the weekend.
Okay, up on Instagram, and then the I Paint Creatures on that's on YouTube, on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, youtube.com/c/iPaintCreatures. One more.
Right on, man. All right, thanks, Taz. Have a great evening.
Great, thanks.
All right, hope you enjoyed tonight's program. Let's thank our underwriters. We want to thank DA Lampy Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio here in Northern California. More information, visit DA Lampy, LAMPE, construction.com. And also by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports, open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m., 5:30 p.m. at 176 East 3rd Avenue in downtown Chico. Serving Chico in the North State since 1975. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Lots happening as well. It is Thursday Night Market in downtown Chico, going till 9 o'clock. Have yourself a lovely, lovely evening, and Friday coming at you. Just